one of the strangest, creepiest, and most controversial hauntings in American history. It started like any move-in story. A mother, her three children, and their grandmother settled into a small rental home on Carolina Street in Gary, Indiana. The house was modest, quiet, tucked away in a neighborhood. To them, it was a fresh start, a new chapter. But what came next, no one could have predicted. It started with swarms of black flies in the middle of winter. Then, unsettling noises, like they weren't alone in the house. It got worse. The children began behaving in ways no one could explain. Police, medical professionals got involved. The police reports from this case are chilling. This wasn't just a haunting. This was so much worse. What unfolded inside the small house on Carolina Street was so disturbing, so thoroughly documented, that it drew in police, social workers, medical staff, even the Catholic Church. Some say it was a case of mass delusion. Others are still haunted by what they saw. But no one came away from this case unchanged. This is Avery After Dark, and I am your host, Avery Ross, and this episode, we're investigating the Ammons haunting in Gary, Indiana. The story is not folklore. This is a documented case with witnesses, reports, and believers. Then we're going to slow things down with a more personal story. A woman's much-needed vacation takes a dark turn when she returns home, only to discover she didn't come back alone. What followed her? And more importantly, why? I'm so grateful you tuned in for this episode. This spooky season, I have so much coming your way. So many stories, hauntings, cases. So make sure you're following along wherever you tune in to Avery After Dark. Leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts if you're enjoying the show. Let me know where you're tuning in from in the world. Now let's get right into the episode because we have a lot to cover today. At the center of our story is a woman named LaToya Ammons. In the fall of 2011, LaToya was looking for a new home, a sanctuary, a place of peace for LaToya, her mother, Rosa Campbell, and her three children, ages 7, 9, and 12. And a rental became available, 3860 Carolina Street in Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana has earned a pretty sad reputation, being called the most miserable city in America. Today, Gary is a desolate ghost town. Founded in 1906, Gary, Indiana was once a booming metropolis, big-time steel town. But with the decline of the American steel industry in the 1960s and 70s, jobs vanished, families fled. The once booming town became desolate and was known for having one of the highest homicide rates in the United States. Today, entire blocks stand abandoned. Schools sit frozen mid-lesson. I'm talking books open, chalk still on the board. Locals say the city is haunted and it has a very eerie feel, not just by ghosts, but by what was lost. So just to give a little backdrop as to what was going on in the town at the time of this haunting. When touring the rental on Carolina Street, LaToya and her mother, Rosa, felt this was going to be really great. It was a good size, sat on a quiet street of small one-story homes. So in November 2011, LaToya, Rosa, and the three children moved into the house. Almost immediately, things started to get weird. And it started with these flies that would cling to their screened-in porch. They were almost like swarms or clouds, and they would kill them, but they would always come back. And this was also odd because it's November. It was quite cold out. You're used to seeing a lot of bugs in the summer months, but this just didn't make sense. Then LaToya and her mother, Rosa, began to hear footsteps. Late at night, they reported hearing movement coming from downstairs in the basement, almost like someone was walking up the basement stairs and slowly creeping into the kitchen. LaToya and her mom would go and check, was this one of the kids? But there was never anyone there. But night after night, they would hear this. Again, it was always like someone was in the basement, slowly creeping up the stairs. And they'd hear that creak of the door opening between the basement and the kitchen. They don't really understand what's going on, so they even tried locking the door that connected the basement to the kitchen, thinking that'll put an end to that. But to their surprise, they continued to hear the footsteps. This house was built in 1956, so it really wasn't super old. But hey, maybe this was just weird new house sounds. Maybe this was just them getting used to things. But that optimism was short-lived, as things were about to take a really creepy turn. One night, Rosa woke up and sees a shadowy figure pacing in their living room. It looked like a man walking back and forth. She is totally startled and gets up to investigate. And she finds large, wet boot prints on the floor. And the shadowy figure disappeared, nowhere to be found. These incidents start stacking up. They're hearing things, seeing apparitions. So was this a ghost? Was their house haunted? 4 months into moving into the rental home on Carolina Street, the family said an event changed everything. According to reports, in March of 2012, LaToya and family members witnessed LaToya's 12-year-old daughter levitating over her bed. The family members, horrified, reportedly prayed until she finally came back down. Family that witnessed this was actually so scared, it was reported they ran out of the house. And at that point, LaToya and Rosa feel they really need help. This really wasn't just a haunting. This was affecting the children now and seemed to be something so much darker. The children began to speak in these unnatural deep voices that didn't seem like their own. They were being physically assaulted. Rosa saying she remembers telling her daughter, "We need help. We need to talk to someone who knows how to deal with it." So they contact local churches, hoping they could find someone that could help them. Life has been a little crazy lately, and one thing that helps me unwind, Cornbread Hemp's CBD gummies. For me personally, when life gets hectic, I know one of the best things I can do for myself is get a good night's sleep. It really does make the world of difference. And I've really enjoyed Cornbread Hemp's CBD gummies. I've incorporated them into my wind down routine at the end of the day, and I really like it. Whether it's stress or discomfort or just needing a little relaxation, Cornbread Hemp's CBD gummies are made to help you feel better. Formulated to relieve discomfort, stress, and sleeplessness. And right now, Avery After Dark listeners can save 30% on their first order. Just head to cornbreadhemp.com/Avery and use code Avery at checkout. That's cornbreadhemp.com/Avery and use code Avery to get 30% off your first order. Ammons and her mother, Rosa Campbell, started reaching out to local churches. But unfortunately, they said, most refused to listen. According to a report in the Indy Star, one church official did tell the family something. They said their house did have spirits in it and told them to clean the house with bleach and ammonia and then use oil to draw crosses on every door and every window. And as time progressed, things were getting worse and worse for the family. Ammons described seeing her children levitating above their beds, being physically thrown out of rooms, and becoming hurt from flying objects, and continuing to speak in those really haunting, deep, unnatural voices. They would whisper really horrible things, and when they spoke, their eyes would actually bulge and their mouths would reportedly curl up into these really horrible, unnatural grins. This was looking like possession. And LaToya said she started feeling lightheaded. The strange sensation like she wasn't in control of her body. Whatever entities were in the home, they were terrorizing the Ammons family. Eventually, they made contact with two clairvoyants who told the family something pretty alarming. They said the rental home did have spirits. 200 spirits. And when LaToya and Rosa asked, well, what do we do about that? The clairvoyants told them to move. You don't want to stick around and find out what's going to happen here. This was pretty bad. They know there is something supernatural going on. This was unlike anything they had ever experienced. They also said the youngest son was seeing and speaking to another boy in the home that no one else could see. The daughter was hearing voices, and these voices were saying all kinds of really haunting things, including that death was near and that she would never see her family again. One clairvoyant that Ammons consulted told her to set up an altar in the basement. So she did. She draped a white sheet over a little table, placed a white candle, along with a Jesus statue, a Mary statue, and a Joseph statue, and opened up her Bible to Psalm 91. LaToya said she put on a white t-shirt and put a white scarf around her head and burned sage throughout the house. She said, in turn, nothing happened for 3 days. It really seemed to calm down. But then it ramped back up. The family reported that demons were possessing both LaToya and her children. Now, Rosa, on the other hand, told a reporter that the demons did not affect her because she was born with, quote-unquote, protection from evil. So all this is going on, and in turn, the children are missing a lot of school. And in April, the family decided it was time to visit their family physician, Dr. Jeffrey Anawekyu. So Ammons explains to the doctor what's going on, what's happening to her children, and how they're speaking in these unnatural voices. Their eyes are bulging out. There's just something really wrong here. And in turn, the doctor said the situation was bizarre, saying, quote, 20 years and I've never heard anything like that in my life. I was scared myself when I walked into the room, end quote. According to reports, in his notes, the doctor wrote delusions of ghosts and home, hallucinations, and history of ghost at home. And then the visit takes an even more disturbing turn. Rosa Campbell said that LaToya's son began cursing at the doctor in these demonic voices. Then medical staff said they saw the youngest son be lifted and thrown into the wall with nobody touching him. This is according to a report released from the Department of Child Safety, DCS. Nobody, including the doctor, nurses, knew what was going on, so someone calls 911 from the doctor's office. Minutes later, 8 police officers arrived along with several ambulances. The doctor telling reporters he had no idea what was going on. This was just so disturbing. Her sons are then taken to Methodist Hospital campus in Gary. And from here, the Indiana Department of Child Services really gets involved in the case and investigates LaToya Ammons for possible child abuse or neglect. There was an unidentified caller that said Ammons might have a mental illness and that the children were performing for their mother. This got assigned to a case manager named Valerie Washington. So she comes and does the initial investigation, and in her intake officer's report, she notes that the hospital examined LaToya Ammons and her children and found them to be healthy. And additionally, a hospital psychiatrist concluded that LaToya Ammons was of sound mind. And while the case manager is speaking with LaToya Ammons, the 7-year-old son began growling with his teeth and his eyes reportedly rolled back into his head. He then, quote, locked his hands around his older brother's throat and refused to release him until the adults pried his hands open, end quote. Washington's DCS report also stated that the 9-year-old had a, quote, weird grin, end quote, and walked backward up a wall to the ceiling, flipping over Rosa Campbell, landing on his feet, never letting go of his grandmother's hand. There was another nurse present at the time, corroborating this. Nurse and DCS caseworker were both so terrified. Reports stated they ran out of the room. So what was going on here? At this point, we have case managers, doctors, nurses, medical professionals who are all at a loss, saying this was unlike anything they had ever seen or experienced. Some believing that this had to be supernatural. But others weren't so sure. DCS eventually takes emergency custody of the Ammons' 3 kids without a court order. According to official police reports, many had their doubts about what was going on. But DCS determined that the children were somehow in danger. Ammons was heartbroken, telling the Indianapolis Star, quote, "We'd already been through so much and fought so hard for our lives. It was obvious we were a team and we were beating it, whatever we were fighting. We made it through together as a team and they separated us," end quote. So LaToya is separated from her children and DCS does something. They invite the police department to their house to do a walkthrough. And while inside with Rosa Campbell, the children's grandmother, LaToya's mother, the police officers, yeah, they experienced some pretty strange stuff. One of my favorite things about fall spooky season is curling up on a chilly evening. And this season, I'm especially excited because I'm going to be curling up with my Lola blanket. And I can honestly say I love my Lola blanket. Since getting it, it's become like a second skin. When I get up in the morning, I get my coffee and I wrap myself in it. It's just so soft, so luxurious. And at night, I really look forward to curling up on my couch with it. I turn on a little mystery, a little scary story, and my Lola blanket keeps me nice and cozy. Crafted with ultra-soft, luxury vegan faux fur in a signature 4-way stretch that sets it apart. It's machine washable, double hemmed for durability, and stays flawless, so no pilling, no shedding, even after repeated washes. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge 35% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code AFTERDARK at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code AFTERDARK for 35% off. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them, and please support the show and tell them that I sent you. Wrap yourself in luxury with Lola Blankets. According to police reports, 2 Hammond police officers began experiencing technical malfunctions with their radios. Got a recording of a ghostly voice saying, "Hey," and most notably captured the presence of a, quote, white, smoky apparition in a photograph, many believing it resembled a face, and in a second photo seemed to depict a female figure. During another visit, they said they saw this strange oily substance dripping from the blinds. According to the local newspaper, Gary Police Captain Charles Austin, with more than 35 years of experience, said he was convinced and described himself as a believer after visiting the house and interviewing LaToya and her family. Captain Austin said he was initially skeptical, but after visiting their house and interviewing the family, he said simply, "I am a believer." There are almost 800 pages of reports on this case, dozens of interviews with police officers, DCS, doctors, nurses, psychologists, family members, and a Catholic priest. In April 2012, a hospital chaplain contacted Reverend Michael Maginot, a local priest who came to investigate. He wrote a request to a bishop to perform an exorcism on LaToya. And that's exactly what happened. He performed a small exorcism with a DCS case manager and two police officers present. The Reverend went on to perform a total of three exorcisms on LaToya Ammons. And it seemed after the third exorcism, something really changed. One of Maginot's associates burned a piece of paper with the demon's name on it. And after that, LaToya Ammons started feeling normal, began to feel like herself again. Reverend Maginot stated that he was convinced demons were tormenting the family. This was not a typical haunting. There were no ghosts in the house. This was demonic. After this, LaToya and Rosa Campbell moved back to Indianapolis. After that, she regained custody of her three children in that November 2012. And Reverend Maginot actually blessed her new home in Indianapolis. In interviews, the family saying they were happy to put all of that behind them. But what about the house? Well, it became known as the Demon House. This case was widely publicized, and later, the home was purchased by paranormal investigator Zach Baggins. Many who investigated the house believed that the paranormal activity was coming from the basement, specifically underneath the stairs. And as we know, that's really how the haunting began. One of the first things the family experienced was hearing those footsteps, like someone was creeping up the basement steps and entering the kitchen. In an official request for dismissal of wardship, which was filed by the DCS in January 2013, it was said that LaToya Ammons and her children had made progress and participated in in-home-based therapy. The report also stated that the family had not experienced any issues with any demonic presences or spirits in their home in Indianapolis. In 2016, the Demon House in Indiana was demolished. But Zach Baggins saved one of the pieces of the basement for his Las Vegas museum. LaToya, Rosa, and the three children had no desire to ever come back to the house or the land. The family continues to attend church on Sundays on a regular basis. This case is so complex because of how many witnesses there were to this activity. But as always, what are your thoughts on this case? I love hearing your take. Let me know in the comments. Now, we're going to switch gears. This was a true story sent to me, and it was just too creepy not to share. A woman named Sadie takes a trip with some childhood friends to one of the most unique cities in America, Savannah, Georgia. And what happened next? Well, you got to hear it for yourself. This is the trip. It started back in late May. I went on a girls' trip to Savannah, Georgia, with three of my childhood friends. We've known each other since we were in middle school, and we'd been talking for years about doing a little reunion trip. Savannah was perfect. Historic, beautiful, and a little spooky in that charming southern way. We spent a few days doing the usual touristy stuff. Ghost tours, eating way too much seafood. On the third day, we stumbled into this little antique shop tucked down a side street near one of the older squares. You'd probably walk right past it if you weren't paying attention. Faded green awning, dusty window panes, and one of those little brass bells that jingles when you open the door. The whole place smelled like old books. It was weirdly quiet inside, even with the four of us chattering away. That's when I saw it. In the very back of the store, kind of hidden behind a screen, was this absolutely stunning armoire. It was huge, at least 7 feet tall, and carved from dark, heavy wood. The doors had these intricate floral patterns. The second I laid eyes on it, I felt this weird pull, like it was waiting for me. I know how dumb that sounds, but I swear I felt this weird inviting energy coming off of it, like it belonged to me. The strange part, I'm not someone who drops money on furniture. My friends joked that I was possessed the moment I asked the owner how much it was. He looked surprised, almost like no one had ever shown interest in it before. So I bought it, just like that. Had it shipped back to my house in Alabama. I remember walking out of the store with this strange mixture of buyer's remorse and something else. I couldn't put my finger on it. The armoire arrived about a week later. The movers brought it into my bedroom, and I swear, the second they left, the air felt heavier, cooler somehow. I figured it was just the smell of old wood or something. That first night was the first time I heard it. Around 2 a.m., I woke up to this scratching sound. It was very faint, but definitely coming from the direction of the armoire. Freaked out, I quickly turned on the light, and nothing. But it kept happening. Over the next few nights, it escalated. I started hearing footsteps in the hallway when I was home alone. Whispers, just barely audible. Like someone was talking in another room, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. Those weird scratching sounds continued. It was like someone was inside the armoire trying to get out. And then I really started to feel it. A presence, especially at night. Like someone was standing right behind me. I'd be brushing my teeth and feel something breathing on the back of my neck. I turn around, heart pounding. And of course, there was no one there. I lived alone. One evening, I came home late from a work event and found the armoire doors were wide open. I remember closing them when I left. I wouldn't leave them open. At this point, I was really regretting buying this armoire and confided in one of the friends I went to Savannah with, telling her about what was going on at my house. She thought the idea of an armoire, a piece of furniture being haunted, was nuts. She didn't buy it. Instead, she felt that something had come back with us from the place we stayed, the Airbnb. But I just knew it had to be connected to this armoire. And trust me, I'm not one of those people that usually believes in these types of things. Haunted houses, hotels, I can definitely believe that, but haunted objects and items, I never bought into that. Until it happened to me. My house started to feel really dark, and I knew it had to go. The next morning, I didn't care what I paid, I dragged that thing out of the house myself, straining every muscle in my body, and left it by the curb. I totally tweaked my back doing it, but I didn't care. I called a local junk removal company and didn't even ask if they were going to resell it. I just wanted it gone. And since then, silence, peace, no scratching, no whispers. I don't know what was attached to that armoire or where it came from or what it wanted. Maybe it was in a home where something terrible happened. Maybe someone practiced something dark around it. All I know is that something was attached to it, and it wasn't benign. I still can't explain why I was so drawn to it in the first place. Maybe that's part of the trap. Maybe these things want to be let in. So yeah, if you ever find yourself wandering the historic streets of Savannah and you stumble into a quiet little antique store with a beautiful old armoire in the back, maybe think twice before you buy it. Thank you so much to Sadie for sharing your story. I have heard so many stories similar to Sadie's. People being drawn to a certain piece of furniture or a mirror, bringing it home, and the energy in their house completely shifts and changes. Has anything like this ever happened to you? If so, I would love to hear about it. If you want bonus episodes of Avery After Dark and get every episode ad-free, join the Avery After Dark Patreon. I'm linking that in the show notes. Thanks so much for tuning in for this episode. Next time, I've got so much more coming your way. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.